The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus and his disciples arrived at Bethsaida, people brought to him a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Putting spittle on his eyes, he laid his hands on the man and asked, "Do you see anything?" Looking up, the man replied, "I see people looking like trees and walking." Then he laid his hands on the man's eyes a second time, and he saw clearly. His sight was restored, and he could see everything distinctly. Then he sent him home and said, "Do not even go into the village." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Read an article not long ago that said that if you must buy a car for your teenager, get one that's underpowered. And if possible, get him a car that's old and ugly. Why? Statistically speaking, those are the safest cars on the road. And it stands to reason. The safest path is usually the gradual path. Now, Jesus takes the gradual path here in the gospel today. It's the only miracle in which Jesus heals someone in two stages. He makes the blind man see, but only first after making him see badly. What's the explanation here? Is this Jesus in training? Is this amateur Jesus? Why does Jesus botch the miracle? And the answer, of course, is Jesus doesn't botch anything. He does this deliberately, just like St. Mark includes this passage deliberately in his gospel, and here's why. It's because you're supposed to see yourself in this man. You're supposed to see yourself in this man with the gradual healing of his faults. Why doesn't Jesus just heal the man instantly? Why doesn't Jesus just heal us of our faults instantly? And the answer is that the safest path is usually the gradual path. Now notice, Jesus asks the man, "Do you see anything?" And the man says, I see people walking around, but they look like trees." Question for you here this morning. If he's a blind man, how does he know what a tree looks like? Answer, because he wasn't born blind. Somehow he used to be able to see and he lost his sight. And you're supposed to be able to see yourself in that because you and I, we've both lost something that we once had. And that something is a really clear moral vision that comes with moral innocence. Oh, whether we like it or not, we've all lost our innocence. And Jesus can give you that innocence back. We've lost our innocence, and there's something about sin that obscures your sight. You know, an innocent soul, they can tell you straight up the difference between right and wrong, and they don't even have to think about it. And people get older, and they think, well, you know, it's complicated, and there's shades of gray, and, you know, there's some truth things aren't always morally simple, but a pure soul can see the difference between right and wrong in a way that a sinful soul can't. We've lost something. We've lost our ability to see clearly, and our Lord gives it back to us. But only with our cooperation, only with our perseverance. There are some saints who are cleared of all their faults and instantly, right? Like St. Paul or St. Augustine. This does happen, but it's the exception. It's not the norm. Almost never does Jesus deliver us from our faults without some kind of effort and participation and cooperation on our part. And take a look at this. Jesus heals this man, and he uses spit to heal him. Now, St. Jerome says the spit is symbolic, and it symbolizes everything that proceeds from our Lord's mouth. It's his word, it's his grace, it's his sacraments. But at a more visceral level, isn't it true that spit is yucky, right? It's gross. We want to know what else. Healing of your faults, the overcoming of your sins, it's yucky. It takes time. It takes cooperation. It takes perseverance. It takes humility. doesn't happen easily, and it doesn't happen without your cooperation. St. Francis de Sales says, the sins of your life come galloping in on horseback, but they always leave slowly and on foot. If Jesus healed us of all of our faults and all of our sins instantly, boy, we'd be in some serious trouble. That'd be kind of like taking a teenager and giving him a Ferrari. Probably crash immediately in the pride of our own greatness. Here's a point that I love to emphasize and reemphasize. It's the importance of perseverance, and here's why. The grace of perseverance and the grace of salvation are the same grace. The grace of perseverance and the grace of going to heaven are the same grace. You won't be lost, not if you don't ever quit. So take our Lord's hand, persevere in humility until he leads us safely home. Amen.